The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeets.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's going on, Bulls fans? It's your boy Hayes again, and we're returning for another episode of Chicago Bulls Central. It's not going to be a long show this week. We have some things to go over, but not a lot to go over, so it's not going to be a super long episode. First thing is that we have to talk about the Bulls free agency deals and how that it everything kind of came out now that the numbers have been made official. Marko Simonovic. Again, I know I'm going to murder his name all season. I just know I am. So his deal, he is officially signed, and it's a three-year, $4.3 million deal, which is a really solid deal. The Bulls will keep his bird rights in the case like that. And, you know, that's for a player who, you know, the Bulls expect to develop. So far in Summer League, he's shown flashes. But again, you know how I told you guys how I look at Summer League competition. I don't really buy into it too much. But you do get to see his skill set. And I think more importantly, that's what you want to see at the time of Summer League. You want to see what that skill set, looks like. And he showed a lot of it, ability to shoot the ball. Not a whole lot of post moves. I don't know if he was expected to have that or not. But he can stretch the floor. And you know, he's played pretty well. So that was, Marko Simonovic, again, if I'm saying that right. The Bulls second round pick IO. They signed him to a two-year, fully guaranteed deal at $2.48 million, which is honestly a little bit more than what most second-round picks make. And so, you know, Bulls showing some faith in him also there. DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso's deals came in a little bit less than was expected. I believe DeMar DeRozan's deal was initially, like, reported to being about $85 million. Ends up coming at under $82 million a year. And then also Alex Caruso, 4 years, $36 million, about $1 million or so less than was originally reported there as well. So the Bulls really made some great moves, some smart moves, that, you know, now that, you know, those deals came in at about less than what we were expecting. It just makes the Bulls seem really, really smart in how they brought these deals together. And I think ultimately it just feels good to see the Bulls acting like a big market team again. That's what a lot of this conversation is going. And I know there's talks about what fit's going to be, and we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get into the virtual press conference and specifically DeMar DeRozan's comments. But I think overall, as a Bulls fan, as somebody who's been a fan of this team for years, again, I'm born and raised Chicago Bulls fan. My dad's from Chicago, which I've said before. And it's always been the Bulls for me. Now, my Bulls fandom kicked up to all-time high right at the baby Bulls era, right before the Derrick Rose era. And then it just, of course, Derrick Rose is probably my greatest time as fandom as a Bulls. And this is really the most active I think we've seen and aggressive we've seen the Bulls be since the free agency that brought in Carlos Boozer, Kyle Korver, Ronnie Brewer. We also signed J.J. Redick to an offer sheet that year that the Orlando Magic ended up making. And by that, I mean, like, yes, Lonzo Ball, great. And his deal came in, I think, a little bit less than people were expecting, too. But, and, you know, Lonzo Ball's contract has a lot of incentives. And I think that works for him and the team, right? When you give an incentive-laden deal, and it's been reported as incentives he's not likely to hit, which I don't like that because that means the Bulls, you know, it's not expected to do whatever. But I think It puts the onus on the player to play up to their expectation and their standards. And then the franchise will benefit, even though they're going to be paying more money, by the winning. So if that happens, that means that they got a hell of a deal in the player. I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. But that offseason that the Bulls did, like I said, when we brought in Carlos Boozer and the whole bench mob that year, while there was no huge big name signings, the team ended up coming together and playing with such synergy and with the coach that we exceeded expectations by what we had on paper. And while, yes, there are legitimate reasons to question how that fit's going to be with some of these players, ultimately, I hope that they constructed this team in a way that it's and have a coach that's going to be able to bring the best out of everybody who's on this team. And we see some people play better than what we're expecting them to play. But, you know, to get back on that topic of the Bulls finally feeling like a big market team again, even back then, right, when it happened, when like that offseason that I talked about, I can't remember what year that was. I believe it was probably like 2009-10 offseason, but it's been so long. But, you know, us having a front office in which it seems like they're going to be aggressive about making deals, that doesn't mean that every deal is going to work out. And I can't wait to, like, see how Bulls fans, because as a fandom, we've been through a lot the last decade. But we're also a fickle fandom. And while a lot of the fandom is celebrating these moves, are they going to be jumping down Karnisova's neck and Mark Eversley's neck the moment that one of these deals seems like maybe it's not going to be as positive as what we're expecting? That's where my head is. And that's the things that I question about just how this is going to go. Now, hopefully, you know, when you have these aggressive front offices, these GMs and these executives that are always focused on improving the team, even if you have a deal that necessarily doesn't work out the way that maybe we thought it would on paper, and goals maybe more negative than positive, you got to think and hope that they are so aggressive, they are so focused on improving the team, that they're going to be able to call an audible. They're going to be always trying to maneuver and keep adding pieces and making this team better. And that ultimately is like just the positivity that I'm pulling out of. I don't know about every Bulls fan. It's a lot of positivity on social media, at least on my Twitter and with like other Bulls podcasters and stuff. But it just really, it feels good to have a team that's operating this way. And I think also that something that we don't point out enough as well is that, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf is really not as hands-on with this team anymore. He's not running things here. So us like going into the luxury tax, something that we haven't been able to do for years that we always try to avoid, and things like this, it's like everything's coming together for a perfect storm of us finally being able to step out of this kind of just this purgatory that we've been in as a franchise for so long. And, you know, that's what I take a lot out of this personally. And that's how I feel. It just feels good to be a Bulls fan again. That's ultimately what it comes down to overall. And, you know, Summer League. So I want to talk just briefly about Summer League. Patrick Williams has looked really, really good, more than not, in Summer League. Like I said, you know, Io hasn't looked incredibly impressive at all, or really good, to be honest with you. Seminovic has shown some flashes as well. But like I said, Summer League, I don't necessarily, because this isn't going to be representation of the competition they're going to be facing in the NBA. Specifically for Patrick Williams, why he's been more aggressive. His dribble looks tighter. His release looks a lot quicker. And he just he's way more aggressive and more confident out there. Now, when he gets back in this Bulls team, in the starting lineup, we know he's going to go from being the number one option right now on the Summer League team to really being not an offensive option at all, unless his aggressiveness and his development shows and makes them make him a big part of this offense. The thing that shows that I feel really good about seeing Patrick Williams and how he's played in Summer League is the aggression, is the bigger level of confidence, and how that is going to help this team when, like, Zach has to sit or DeMar is sitting down. And, like, just having Patrick Williams be more aggressive and being more confident can only bode well for this team. And I really think, as much as Zach is our franchise player, absolutely, and they need to re-sign him, and Lonzo's going to be huge, everybody's going to be a huge part, our future right now, especially since we've traded so many of our younger assets in the last couple of years, in the last really year and a half, is really on Patrick Williams. How does he develop? Which way is he going to go? Is he going to go the solid 3-and-D person? Is he going to go the person who's contributions to the team and the winning and success isn't just about the stats. It's really kind of what he does and what he brings to the table as a whole. Right now, he can go either in any way or a combination of both ways. And that's what's exciting about Patrick Williams as a player. He is one of those players who maybe never has that one great thing offensively. I think his defense is always going to be the great thing about him. But like the one great thing offensively, like he may not always be a knockdown three-point shooter. He may not be able to break people down off the dribble amazingly, whatever. But because he's able to do so much and be a high skill in so many different facets, he could be a dangerous player for us to have and just to be on this team. His development is just as important as how this team ends up coming together and melding. And I just hope that his development isn't at all lost because of the increased expectations of this team now, of the increased focus on winning. We still need to develop Patrick Williams. And I mean, a lot of that is on him as well. He's going to have to take some of his opportunities and not like outside of the flow of the game, but being in the flow and make the most of the opportunities given. And like I said, in times where Zach's sitting, DeMar's sitting, he's still on the court with Lonzo and with the other starters or whatever else, he's going to have to show that when one of those two are out, he should be the next one whose number is called and who the offense is built around. And he very well could do it. Like I said, maybe not even in this. This is just year two. But we need to see constant development from Patrick Williams. And that's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. Like the summer league, it's been great to see him. It's been great. Like he looks like he's put on a lot of muscle as well. And it's, you know, not that that really matters. Like, I mean, it does to a degree, but like that was going to happen. He was 19 years old when he got drafted. I mean, just think about it. There's a lot of rookies this season who are still going to be older than Patrick Williams. So he has a long way to go for development, but the potential is there. And that's ultimately what I wanted to see is the skill set that he flashes, not necessarily if he dominates or if the Bulls win, just what he's able to do with this time and how he looks individually. And, you know, a great and solid summer league can't do anything but continue to bode well for his confidence going into the season. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about in Bulls news, the Bulls had their virtual press conference, and there were quite a few comments that come out of it. Caruso, who said in it, like, he feels he could average double-digit points a game, but he takes pride in defense. He also talked about, you know, LeBron being a teammate. But I think ultimately, like, when you hear Caruso talk and then, like, see some of the advanced stats for him defensively, like, this is one of the things that, you know, go and look at Caruso's. I think he ranked in, like, the advanced metrics of defense in towards the top of the NBA. And that's something that I didn't watch a lot of Lakers games last year. I didn't. And one of the games they played against the Bulls, he got fucking ate up. So I didn't watch a lot of Lakers games. I'm not the most like advanced metric stat person either who really searches that. But just, you know, of course, in trying to build my confidence in what the Bulls can do and who they're signing, learn these players a little bit more. If you see those advanced metrics on defense, it's crazy how good metric wise he is on defense. So, you know, to be able to have a player like that coming off the bench, especially when you have a lot of offense in your starting lineup. And, you know, Caruso is really one of those players who can play in any type of setup with in construction of what we have on this team. So, you know, hearing his confidence is huge as well. Lonzo Ball in this, you know, saying, talking about how he met Zach when he was getting recruited for UCLA and everything like that. And, you know, Zach LaVine being one of the reasons him and DeMar wanting to come here. You know, Lonzo wanted to be here because the Bulls wanted him, and he wanted to be somewhere where he feels he can flourish and play in his game. And, you know, even in one of the questions that he was asked about how the Pelicans used him, and he answered it politically, but I have the suspicion, of course, that it's reasonable to think that maybe he wasn't as happy as in the ways that he was using the Pelicans. And hopefully he sees a better fit here next to Zach and everything like that. And, you know, when you look at like the point guard you want next to Zach LaVine, and a lot of times as fans, we start getting these ideas of like, oh, we need another, imagine Zach next to someone like Russell Westbrook or something. And it's like, you don't want two people that need the ball a lot. And while Lonzo is better on the ball, but like his vision and the fact that like Zach being off the ball may be better, more now may be better for his efficiency in his game. Zach is probably not going to average the 26, 27 points he did this year. Just when you look at like the construction of this team, but he's probably, and he was efficient fairly last year. If those efficiency numbers go up, and even if the scoring drops down by 3-4 points a game, that's going to be huge because that ball is being spread around a little bit more. And so Lonzo talking at this, it just, everything about this conference just added more fuel to the fire positively as far as the way that I'm feeling about this team headed in. But the key thing is, DeMar DeRozan, when he was asked about the fit, and I'm going to read this quote exactly. When he was asked about how he's going to fit and how the Bulls are going to fit together, this was what he had to say. I mean, it's basketball. You know, a lot of people I see criticize and talk about fit this, fit that, probably never even played basketball. Being a basketball player, you go out and play at the park. Some of your best teams is against guys you don't even know that you go out and compete with. For me, if everybody is on the same page and mentality of wants to win, it doesn't matter about fit because it's all going to come together how it needs to come together and make it work because at the end of the day, the common denominator is winning. If you have that mentality going into it, everything will be figured out how it needs to be figured out in the process. That's where chemistry is built. And so that is the type of leadership and veteran leadership and comments that you want from a player when you sign a veteran like DeMar DeRozan, somebody who played on the Spurs. That's a great mentality. Now, I will say that I disagree that because sometimes certain things in players and systems just don't fit. It happens. But I do think that there's a lot to be said when he says, like, if everybody comes in with the mentality, and the way that I take that statement is, if him saying by the mentality of winning meaning that everybody's not out for themselves, they're not out for their own numbers, they're out for whatever is going to get the team the victories and help brings everybody together. And you need somebody like after what we went through with the last coach that we had, and then, you know, Billy Donovan coming in and wanting to change the culture, DeMar DeRozan is a guy that you want to help change your culture. And if we're going into being this winning team, this team with playoff expectations, not aspirations. The Bulls, make no mistake, the Bulls are expected to make the playoffs next year. If they don't make the playoffs, I'm not saying like it's going to be this huge catastrophe and we need to blow it up, but it's going to be a huge disappointment. Hell, people and Bulls fans were disappointed this year when we didn't make the playoffs and we lost Zach towards the end of the season. Imagine if a team like this comes together and we don't make the playoffs. So when you have a team that has the expectation of being in the playoffs with higher aspirations to maybe make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and being one of the best teams in the East, you have to have this type of mentality. And hopefully that means, and what I pull out of this is basically sacrifice. A team that's willing to sacrifice for each other for the benefit of the organization. And so you get that from Caruso as well. And ultimately that's what is going to have to happen. If we, for us to see a team in year one come together and really be cohesive and be on the same page, it's going to take sacrifice from everyone on that team on how to figure it out. And so it really feels like a organization that has expectations again, an organization that's gotten their footing back out. Make no mistakes, the Bulls are one of the best storied franchises because of the dynasty era. And we have a worldwide fan base because of that era. And so we owe that specifically, not just to the market of being into Chicago, but with what Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Jerry Krause, even, let's not forget about all they contributed to this organization and that dynasty that they were able to put together. And because of that, there are always expectations of this Bulls team. We have never let that go. Like I said, as a Bulls fandom. And so because of that, I don't know, as a Bulls fan, like I said, I get having doubts. I get having questions about the fit or having questions about how it's all going to come together, having questions about if Zach's going to stay long term. I understand the questions, but you'd be crazy not to just be in a way more positive light because of everything that I named before. The fact that we're making moves, we have the front office who's not afraid to make moves and who has the mindset of always improving this team, who's not afraid to be aggressive in deals. We have now a starting five and a solid bench of players that all seem to, you can get the picture. Yeah, okay, I understand the fit questions about Zach and DeMar and how that's going to go over the season, but they are both veterans. Let's not forget, Zach LaVine is, what, an 8-year vet at this point? DeMar DeRozan has been in the league for years as well. You would expect them to be able to get it together. And Vujacek as well, because now they have something to fight for. LaVine coming off winning the gold medal. This team has expectations. They have aspirations. They have all of that. And ultimately, that's just where I am as a Bulls fan. It's just really positive. and really exciting. Now, last thing before we go is still the question that remains is Lauri Markkanen. What the fuck is going on with Lauri Markkanen? What's going to happen? Friday, this past Friday, and that's part of why I waited to drop this episode till today, was the last day for teams to pull qualifying offers. The Bulls did not pull Lauri's qualifying offer, which means he's still a restricted free agent, which means at this point there's only two outcomes. Well, there's three technical outcomes, but the third one I find is going to be really, really unlikely. First outcome, Lauri just comes back on that qualifying, that one-year deal, and he goes into restricted free agency next year. Now, pros and cons of that is pros, Lauri gets out of here. He knows he has one more year. He can get out of here. He can sign with whatever team he wants to, whatever. Cons, the Bulls have no incentive to play Lauri Markkanen at this point. You have a team that's trying to build chemistry, that's trying to win. What incentive do they have to really prioritize Lauri in any type of meaningful way? None. So does that hurt his market value? I mean, clearly his market value already isn't super high if he hasn't even gotten a qualifying offer. Aubrey Jr. got a qualifying offer. Lauri did not. So with that being said, you know, Lauri trying to bet on himself this season on this one-year deal could really backfire in his face if he gets injured, if he doesn't look good in the time that he's on there, or if the Bulls just don't really play him. Then they only have last season to go off of, and it's not great work. Now, the third outcome, which I said is completely, second possible outcome is the team does go ahead and sign him to an offer sheet. The Bulls either have at that point the choice to match or the choice to let him walk. Now, I think that that is not as unlikely as number three, but I think it is also unlikely because at this point you would think that he would have gotten an offer sheet signed if somebody was interested in him. You know, we get the reports of the Mavericks being interested in the Mavericks, Pelicans, Hornets. There was another team as well. Can't remember the other team right now, but there were reports of teams being interested in him in the last week or so. And so, but nothing's materialized from that. So the offer sheet thing, every day that goes by, this offer sheet from another team coming looks more and more unlikely to happen. Now, it could be that teams figure, they survey the field as well and figure, okay, why even give Chicago a chance to offer him something when we can wait another season, probably offer him less than what we need to on an offer sheet because he's probably not going to really do much this season. So you have that option and does exist. Just because Lauri hasn't necessarily gotten an offer sheet yet doesn't mean that teams aren't interested. They just could be playing the odds of it that really, even if they do believe in Lauri, let's say the Hornets for some reason, in which in the sign and trade, they'd have to give something out. They really look at it and say, hey, the Bulls are unlikely to sign him to a long-term deal. Other teams that are interested, we don't really see them going on a long-term deal right now either. We can wait till next offseason, whereas we probably have to offer him about 15 to 17 million right now on the offer sheet so the Bulls wouldn't match. If he doesn't play next season, we can probably get Lauri for about 9 or 10 million, save themselves assets, save themselves money, and still get a player that they do believe in. So that chance always exists as well. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, the third and highly unlikely situation that happens here is that the Bulls come to a contract extension with them. We know why that's not going to happen. Lauri's already said he wants out. Bulls have shown no interest. We haven't even had rumors that they've even talked an extension. So because of that, that seems super unlikely, but it is a possibility. It is an option that's on the table. It's just probably one that's not going to happen. The question of Lauri Markkanen, what happens with him this season and how his career goes, is going to be so interesting to see how that plays out next offseason. I really don't want the distraction during the season. I honestly, if I was the Bulls, would consider not playing him much at all. And it sucks for a player that still has great Lauri Markkanen. That's the thing. As Bulls fans, we need to come to an understanding here. Yes, Lauri has disappointed us to where we thought he was going to be after year one and year two. But Lauri is still a player with a great skill set that can contribute to a team. Like this whole thing of Lauri being a bum, Lauri's had a bad season and a half, but Lauri is far from a bum. I don't see that. Lauri's just not the player that we thought that we were going to be able to build a franchise around. But if you get him next to a Luka, if you get him next in a Hornets team with LaMelo Ball, I think we see a different side of Lauri Markkanen. And I've even said that like once Lonzo was signed, maybe the Bulls kept him. That was my thought, because maybe having a real point guard, we see better sides of Lauri. And I still maintain that idea just won't happen here at the Bulls. Is that if you put Lauri in a proper situation with somebody where he really can just be him. Like, don't forget, Larry went through a time where he was used incorrectly when we had a stupid ass coach. If you get a good coach who believes in Larry, you get good players in a system that fits him, and a player that's better than him, we could see a different side of Lauri Markkanen. Lauri's going to be one of those players who, when he leaves the Bulls, I'm still rooting for Lauri Markkanen because I really do like Lauri, and I really do think Lauri has potential in this league and has potential as a player. So I believe in Lauri Markkanen. I have hopes for Lauri Markkanen. We'll just see how it goes. But that's it. Let me know how you guys feel on any of these topics. Let me know how you feel about Laurie's career and his potential as a whole. Do you guys see it like me? Do you think Lauri can still, if he gets in the right situation, be an impact player in this NBA? I do. But that's it. We do have finally social media. So we are on Twitter now. And our Twitter is Bull Central Pod, at Bull Central Pod on Twitter. You can also follow me personally at CEO Haize, that's CEO Haize. We still have our email, that's bullcentralpod@gmail.com. If you want to email us to let us know your thoughts about our lovely Chicago Bulls. We do have a voicemail for right now. This shared voicemail through my media company is 614-547-2038. But we'll be, by next episode, we'll have a phone number just for this podcast, because it's so different from everything else. I want to have it to have its own specific phone number. But this has been Chicago Bull Central. I'm your host, CEO Haize. I'll see you lovely and beautiful people next week. Peace.
Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.